Morning, we'll be out of the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread through the whole countryside. He taught in their synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. And he stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing."
Would you bow with me in prayer for a moment? Heavenly Father, I pray that this morning, that I might speak according to your will and your word, and that it might be received on that basis as well. I pray that through it, we might all be drawn closer to you and to your will, both in thought, in attitude, and in life. Through Christ I pray, amen. I like to be with people who are like me, middle class. I'm the most comfortable with them. I have more in common with them than I do with people who are either wealthier or poorer. Looking around the auditorium, it appears that most of us feel the same way, because most of us are clearly and solidly middle class. From a self-interest standpoint, if I had to choose to be with either wealthier or poorer people instead of middle class people like myself, I should choose to be with wealthier people. After all, they're the people who can help me to move upward, aren't they? And considering everything, what can poorer people do for me? Don't we all kind of think that way in our heart of hearts? But neither God nor Jesus think that way. In Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21, as Jimmy has just read, Jesus reads from Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 through 2, and chapter 58 of Isaiah, verse 6. He identifies himself by reading these verses and by what he has to say afterwards to characterize his God-given commission to his ministry. He was anointed by God to preach good news to poor people, to proclaim freedom for people who were imprisoned, to bring sight to blind people, and to release oppressed people. In Luke chapter 7 and verses 18 through 23, when Jesus is asked by John the Baptist's followers if he, Jesus, is the one the Jews were waiting for as God's promised Savior, by Jesus' response, he measures his ministry and himself against these verses in Isaiah. He says, "The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." In saying this, Jesus is not only confirming that he is fulfilling the prophecies about God's promised Savior, but he's also confirming that doing these things, serving the needs of people's bodies as well as their spirits, is what his ministry is about. Jesus spent much of his time, perhaps the majority of his time, with poor people. And much of Luke's gospel focuses on that very fact, more so than any of the other gospels. following this story in Luke chapter 4, as Jimmy read to us a moment ago, Luke chapter 6, verses 20 through 33, has Jesus pronouncing blessings on poor people and only on poor people. In chapter 9, verses 10 through 17, Jesus is feeding poor, hungry people. In chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, Jesus tells a story about a man who was injured and commends the one man who stopped to help. This man essentially became a poor man because he had been robbed of what he had. In chapter 12 of Luke, in verses 16 through 21, Jesus tells of a rich but foolish man, which seems to be an irony when we stop and think about it, a rich but foolish man who thought only of himself and who was not rich toward God. This man had no thought of sharing his blessings with people who were in need. He thought only of maintaining it for himself. In that same chapter, chapter 12 and verse 48, Jesus teaches, "From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked." In chapter 14 and verses 12 through 14, Jesus teaches that when a person has a party, they're, and they're setting a banquet, for you and I, simply a party, they should invite the poor and the disabled with the assurance of God blessing them for doing so. In chapter 16, and verses 19 through 31, Jesus tells of a rich man and a poor, diseased beggar by the name of Lazarus. Because the rich man ignored the needs of Lazarus, the rich man was assigned to hell, while this poor, diseased man was assigned to heaven. And between those stories, in chapter 15 and verses 11 through 32, Jesus tells a story of a young man who demanded and received his inheritance from his father. He left home and quickly squandered what he had been given and became in need, although his need was self-inflicted. Coming to his senses, he decided to return to his father in repentance. And his father welcomed his son and restored his relationship. Jesus tells that particular story to tell about the relationship that God has with people, his own people, the Jews, and with those who are not his people, those who had been prodigals, those who had left God at some former point in time, those people who had been away from him and who had disrespected him, who had lived lives that were what's sometimes called profligate or just totally apart from God's will, but who in humility returned to him. And so Jesus reveals the heart of God toward those who have done foolish and rebellious things toward him. In chapter 18 and verses 18 through 25, Jesus encounters a rich ruler who is unwilling to sell his possessions and give the proceeds to the poor in order to have a relationship with God in heaven. In chapter 18 again, in verses 35 through 43, Jesus heals a blind beggar who we know by simply the circumstance of their life was extremely poor, impoverished. In chapter 19 and verses 1 through 10, Jesus so effectively convicts the heart of a tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus that this tax collector makes his own commitment, a commitment to giving half of his possessions to poor people. In chapter 21 of Luke, in verses 1 through 4, Jesus commends to those who are within earshot a poor widow who gave all she had to live on to the temple treasury, trusting in God's care. And then in chapter 22, and in verse 25 on through verse 27, we find Jesus telling his followers these words. Verse 25, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, those who bless others. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves by intention, by God's intention, and by Jesus' cooperation, Jesus placed himself at the lowest, most humiliated position. Jesus' heart went out to poor people. Jesus was raised in a place that was so unremarkable, a place that was characterized, it seems, by poverty, that people thought of it poorly. By his choice, by his God-given ministry, Jesus was unemployed, Jesus was moneyless, and Jesus was homeless. There are some things that are said about Jesus almost as asides that we pick up on through the Gospels that say some things about Jesus that unless we really stop and think about them, we'll miss. Things that are really hard for us to think about. Like the fact that Jesus did not support himself in his ministry. Instead, it seems that Jesus was primarily supported by women. Now, whether it was in Jewish society of that day or modern American society today, none of us really have much respect for men who live off of women, do we? Jesus did not exactly position himself to be respected by virtue of the way that he was supported financially. And even down to the very end, after he was dead, Jesus was buried in a borrowed tomb because he didn't have the money to pay for his own burial place. Let me just ask a question for you and I to think about. Given what we know about Jesus in terms of his economic class and his social class and how he was supported and his time spent with poor people, would you feel comfortable being involved with Jesus had you lived then? Well, I know he did wonderful things. All of these wonderful miracles, all of this wonderful teaching that just caused people to say, this man must be from God. Nobody ever taught with this authority. All of those things aside, just the way he lived and who he lived with, would you be comfortable being involved with Jesus? What did God have in mind when he anointed Jesus to preach the good news to the poor? Why, of all people, the poor? Poor people depend upon God. In ancient Israel, many people became poor because wicked people swindled them out of their land, their money, and their possessions. And in the process, they swindled them out of their own self-esteem and self-respect. Wealthier people who are well-positioned might look to their wealth to support their needs. But poor people could only turn to God as their hope for justice and restitution. After Mary was told that she would conceive Israel's everlasting king, she praised God in Luke chapter 1. And in verses 46 through 55, saying, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but he has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." And so Mary praised God not only for his blessing to her and for what he had entrusted to her, but for God blessing those by extension who were humble, who were downcast, who were servants, who were hungry. Jesus showed God's love and justice to poor people. Poor people were and are discounted and ignored by society, but not by God. Never by God. The story of Jesus' adult life shows him serving everyone, including poor people, with respect and dignity. There's no variance with Jesus as he's serving people. He and the Father love and value poor people and give them special honor. James chapter 2 and verse 5 tells us that God has chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him. God saves people who are humbled to him. He shows his grace-shaped justice to all people based upon their obedience to his will and without regard to race or class or gender. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verses 26 through 29, Jesus' follower Paul wrote this of Christians: "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise." Once in Christ, no differentiations. But even before that, no difference in the way that God looks at humanity. After all, didn't Jesus say that God loved the world so much, God loved the world so much, that he sent his only Son? Harold Shank writes, "God wants good tidings of his love to be felt by the poor and the afflicted. He wants to dress the wounds of the brokenhearted. He wants the unjustly imprisoned to know the freedom of his love. God loves the needy." Just as Jesus made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, identifying with poor people by choice, so he called for his followers to do the same. Maybe we need to go back and think for just a moment about what Jesus said to his followers when he sent them out on what we sometimes call the limited commission, that first training exercise he sent them on in Luke chapter 3, or rather Luke chapter 9 and verse 3. And because there, Jesus tells them not to take any extra money with them. He tells them not to take any extra clothing with them. He tells them to take what they had that was on their back and to trust God to take care of them as they went about his work. The ministry of the early church illustrates how preaching and poverty go together. Of the 6 chapters in Acts that describe the Jerusalem church, 5 of them describe in detail the massive concern of the church for the poor. We must imitate the Jerusalem church, where rich and poor joined around the Lord's Supper in unity. A church where the rejected of our society can find love and concern. The poor are really God's gift to us. God's gift to help us understand our role in the world as spreaders of his love. Being the God-like church means being joyful over opportunities to sacrifice, because then we become Christ-like. We must not fall into the trap of judging people as either worthy or unworthy of our love, or of us actively sharing God's word with them based upon how we think of them, based upon our standards for other people. Jesus' ministry was one of service and one of preaching good news of God's grace, a grace that affects every part of every life. The good news is that because no one is worthy of God's love, God gives us His grace through Christ. From this free gift, you and I can give to people in need. One who has received something undeserved, helping another who receives something undeserved. And that's the attitude that we really need to develop, each one of us, as a way of life. In Revelation chapter 3, and in verses 14 through 18, Jesus wrote to His church in the city of Laodicea. And He said, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are a lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, 'I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing.' But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. I'm thankful, truly thankful, that this congregation is not like Laodicea, self-deceived that we need nothing because of our comfortable middle-class circumstances. I'm thankful that we are not blind in our self-deception, wretched, pitiful, poor, and naked spiritually. I'm thankful that we welcome and love people without regard to their class in society, that we see all people of all types as precious souls alone, including poor people, people who need good news of God's saving grace in Christ, along with our material or physical help. And may God help us to grow in Christ-like compassion toward all people of all classes as we each one continue to grow spiritually." The good news that Jesus had for poor people is for all people.